Blog Talk Radio.
Point is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I am your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and today is the day, matter of fact, the 2017 Chick-fil-A kickoff game, Florida State, Roll Tide, 8 p.m. tonight, ABC, 9 hours, 58 minutes, 45 seconds to kick off. Cannot wait. It's all football all the time. Finally. So if you're a high school, your high school either played last night or they're playing today, but all over the DMV, all over the country, there's high school football. Everybody's in full gear, full tilt, in league play. They're playing. College football, it started. It started Thursday night. It spilled into last night, and it'll end up today. Roll Tide in 9 hours. 58 minutes and 9 seconds is kickoff where Roll Tide and Florida State go head-to-head. And, of course, it is cut-down day in the NFL, not for long. That's what the NFL stands for. And today, guys will find out the hard way, you know, it's just business. It's not personal. So they'll be getting tapped on the shoulder, as for their playbooks, and getting a cab to the airport. See ya. So it will be talking about NFL cutdown day in the second half of the show. First half of the show, of course, now let us not forget, with all this football swirling around, we've got National League and American League and, yes, minor league playoff races heating up. Nats, O's, and our guest today, Bowie Bay Sox assistant general manager Phil Rye, to talk a little ball. We got to get the baseball in because pretty soon it'll be World Series. It's just a couple weeks away is the World Series. Can you believe how fast 27 has gone? And now with football season upon us, 2017 is about gone. It's gone. So, hey, before we do all that, though, you know we've got to do our pay attention topics. And we got some good topics today that we could talk about. One is Friday night. My favorite woman athlete, Serena Williams, had her baby. So, you know, it was funny. They were interviewing Venus, who, by the way, I guess it got lost that Venus Williams has advanced in the U.S. Open to the fourth round again. And she's got a shot at this thing. Now, you know, for those of you that don't remember, you know, she went all the way to the finals at Wimbledon. Venus is pushing 40 and still got it going on. So, women's tennis is in good shape. Sharapova has advanced to the fourth round as well. She's back. I can see the collision happening. If Sharapova runs into Venus and beats Venus, you better believe little sister will be itching to get back for the Aussie Open in January 2018, to go head-to-head and one-on-one with Maria Sharapova. And then let's not forget the low-hanging fruit in women's tennis. Sloane Stephens, another American assistant, fit as a fiddle. She can flat out play. Looks like she's changed coaches and got her game together. And so she's advancing in the U.S. Open. So U.S. Open's a fun event. It's fun to watch. Women's tennis is in a really, really good place. So we could talk more about that. But we'll keep it on the women's athletics for a minute and talk about a little history being made right here in the capital of the free world last night. when Seattle Storm point guard Sue Bird broke the WNBA assist record, collecting her 2,600 assists. 2,600 times she's thrown the ball to someone else and they scored a point. I mean, that tells you right there, unselfish play. She's a coach on the court. I wouldn't be surprised if she started coaching the day after she retired. And while the Mystics won the game in overtime, an exciting game, I tell you, that's something else. That sport, I think, is starting to pick up a little bit of steam here. They're starting to get some name-recognized athletes. And I've been out to a couple Mystics games this season, and they've been compelling stories. So I think, you know, the more they get, continue to market towards their marquee, you know, dozen or so players, I think you could see this thing getting on the map real soon. So congratulations to Sue Bird for breaking that that WNBA assist record. One more thing we could talk about. Fear the Turtle. University of Maryland football. That, it gets overlooked in the DMV. DMV is more of a basketball town. You know, Maryland's been down for a few years, but they go out against Texas today. Let me tell you, Texas, new coach, Coach Tom Herman, and second-year coach, DJ Durkin. So you got second-year guy against rookie head coach or first-year head coach at Texas. This thing's going to be a clash. Here's what I think happens, though, in this game is people forget Charlie Strong recruited guys. They've got dudes there. The problem was, you know, Charlie just couldn't get put the wins together. But I say that Texas destroys Maryland with Charlie Strong players. This guy Herman's full of positivity. He's an excellent motivator. He gets guys fired up. I think I see Texas really, really punishing Maryland and coming out the gate strong, as Texas should. College football is better when Texas is good. So I think that's going to be an interesting game today at noon in Texas. So Maryland, one other point statistically, and this is another reason why I think Texas wins this game. Maryland gave up 30 points a game last year on defense, and while the defense is a little more mature and improved, 30 points a game, that's tough. So that's on the defensive side. On the offensive side, Maryland gave up 49 sacks. So I just think that those are statistics that while they may improve, it's going to be tough to get that thing going. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, so hey, here's our pay attention topic for this week. It's all about baseball. It's all about baseball, and it's all about the National League MVP, which is it's coming, season's winding down there. And you got some real good choices out there, obviously, like you do every year. But the reason why I wanted to use this as a pay attention topic is there's a guy right here in D.C. who should be a candidate for MVP. And he bats sixth in the lineup, and his name's Anthony Rendon. So for those of you that watch the Nats day in and day out like I do, the guy really should have gone to the All-Star game. He got beat out. I just think fans didn't come out and vote. And I don't know if he needs a PR machine or what, but Anthony Rendon has got to be the most underrated player in Major League Baseball. Now, why is that? Well, that's easy. First of all, he's got the golden boy on his team, Bryce Harper. So anybody that has Bryce Harper on the team, it's going to be tough to even be the MVP of your own team. So, you know, I mean, Bryce went to the All-Star game, and quite honestly, prior to his injury, Bryce was the MVP of the league. So if you're not the MVP on your own team, you're definitely not going to be the MVP for the entire league. Another guy, staying on the Nats team, Max Scherzer. Max will probably win Cy Young, which, you know, deems him the best pitcher in baseball. Well, it's hard, and Max has a personality and a swag about him. First of all, he's the highest paid player on the team, so you can't give an MVP to a guy that's, you know, the fifth or sixth highest paid guy on the team. I mean, what Scherzer makes and what Rendon makes, it's staggering, the difference. So once again, you know, that's where Rendon kind of slides down. All right, then you go to, now we're still on his team, Daniel Murphy. Now, Daniel Murphy plays every day, just like Rendon. He never takes a day off. Well, maybe one or two. But, you know, there was a big trade bringing Daniel Murphy from the Mets to the Nets. When the Nets got Daniel Murphy, basically they were getting an MVP guy into their dugout. So I think that, again, this is why Rendon slips down. Murphy can be used as a leadoff guy, but he could also back cleanup. So it's really tough for Rendon to get any visibility. And you've got those guys in front of you. But now let's get one more guy, one more on the Nets, and that's Ryan Zimmerman. So now if you look at the month of April, Zimmerman was absolutely on fire, absolutely on fire. So it was hard to now he's cooled off a little bit, but you know, he's the elder statesman on the team. He's the captain of the team. You know, he's a leader. He's a pillar in the community, and he did make the All-Star game, and he's playing well. He's playing, still playing at a really, really high level. So you know, for me, I think that Zimmerman is another guy in that Nats lineup that it makes Rendon slide down. Now, if you're looking at batting order, Rendon is batting sixth, and he's been batting sixth. So once again, it's just really, really tough to get a guy like that any type of MVP chatter going on. Now, I haven't even mentioned Giancarlo Stanton down at, with the Miami Marlins. Now, Giancarlo probably will win it because he leads in the number one stat in baseball, which is home runs. So home runs to baseball is like knockouts is to boxing. I mean, it's the cute thing. It's the, you know, the shiny, sexy thing stat. And so Giancarlo probably will go ahead and win it. The thing that may hold Giancarlo back is he plays on an awful team. I mean, this team's terrible, Miami Marlins, although they seem to beat the Nets all the time. But so Giancarlo, I mean, if Rendon had that PR firm to kind of push him a little bit, maybe if it was just between Giancarlo and Rendon, Rendon could win it. But I can tell you, with Bryce, Scherzer, Murphy, Zimmerman, he's not even the most valuable player on his own team. And he's not the second most valuable or the third or the fourth. So therefore, he can't be National League's most valuable player. But it's something worth talking about. Hey, the guy, other than April, the month of April, he's been their best hitter. Zimmerman was their best hitter in April. He's just underrated, but he's batting .305, 22 home runs, 86 RBI, 68 runs. That's pretty good. I mean, that's real good. But he plays for the Nats, and therefore he won't be winning them. He won't even be in the conversation. Now, you know what I did? I just talked myself out of Rendon being even in the conversation for National League MVP. So, hey, listen, we are going to take a quick break, and then we'll have Phil Rye on from the Bowie Bay Sox. Phil's going to talk a little baseball. And then in the second half of the show, I'm going to play GM. I have made my cut. So for a Redskin fan, and if you're not a Redskin fan, you'll know who's going to be on that roster. Let me just tell you this, though, in advance. Nate Sudfeld will be the backup next year. Just keep that in mind. If not the starter next year. Love me some Nate Sudfeld. So, hey, before we go to break, I'm so sick and tired of seeing all this Penn State stuff. Saquon Barkley to the Heisman. This, that, and the other. They're ranked fourth. They're going to struggle with Akron today. They're going to lose to Pittsburgh next week. But we'll talk about that more in prediction. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. we do need money, Chuck, and it's going to be a whole lot of guys in the NFL that are going to be needing money in a couple of hours here because they're going to be out of a job. So, but before we get to the NFL, let's go to a little bit of baseball here. And I think we got super general manager, super assistant general manager, the Bowie Bay Sox, Phil Rye. I think Phil is out there. Phil, are you there?
I am here.
There he is. There he is. Phil, how you doing, man? It's soggy out there. I know that a general manager doesn't like to see rain, but a little soggy out there. How the Bay Sox doing, and how are you doing?
Well, we'd like to see rain when the team's on the road, and we're on the road this weekend, so that's okay. We don't like to see rain when the team is home. the field
there we go.
Rain
all right, very good.
All the time, but just not when we're home. But no, the Bay Sox, we have qualified for the Eastern League playoffs, so we're in. We're still trying to decide here in the last 3 days of the season if we're going to be in first place or second place in our division. We're a game and a half back of the Altoona Curve, who are the affiliate, double-A affiliate of the Pirates. We're a game and a half back of them with three to play. So it doesn't look great that we're going to be in first place, but there's still a chance mathematically. And this weather is kind of not been a friend this weekend. We got rained out in Richmond last night while Altoona got a chance to play. So we'll see what happens today. This rain kind of socking in down there too. So we'll kind of see what happens here and if we can get a game played tonight sometime in Richmond.
Well, good, good. That's good stuff. And playoffs. I mean, that's a big deal for your team now. Now, how does that work? Is it 4 out of 7, or how does that 3 out of 5? How does that work in the next round?
Yeah, there are two rounds of the playoffs in the Eastern League. The first round is the division championship, so we're in the Western Division. So we already know that we're going to face the Altoona Curve. We both have clinched playoff spots. If we finish in second place, which we are currently in, we'll actually host games 1 and 2. On Wednesday and Thursday next week, and then games 3 and then possibly 4 and 5 would be held in Altoona for the home field advantage. And then just flip-flop that. If we were to end up in first place, we would host games 3 and potentially 4 and 5 next Friday, Saturday, Sunday if those are necessary. And then the second round is the winner of the Eastern Division versus the winner of the Western Division in a best-of-5 series, which we were fortunate enough to get to and win back in 2015 to bring home our first ever Eastern League championship. So we're looking to try to get 2 in 3 years here. It'd be a major accomplishment and a lot of fun.
That is a big deal. Yeah, that's a real big deal. Now, let me ask you this question. I'm looking at the schedule and the Saturday game in Richmond, which is, you know, 2 hours away driving roughly. Then the team's there until, you know, through Labor Day. There's a noon game, 12:05, first pitch on Labor Day. This may be a dumb question, but how do they get to the games? Do you guys provide the transportation? Do you have to find their own way? Do the team stay in a hotel together, to feed them? Like, how hard is life on the road for a minor league guy?
Well, in the double A ranks, they bus pretty much everywhere. I think we are the only team that actually flies one location. We take a road trip every year to play the teams in Manchester, New Hampshire, and Portland, Maine. So we'll actually fly up for that trip and then bus back at the end of it. But everything else is by bus. So a trip to Richmond, not that bad. It's 2 hours away. A trip to Harrisburg or Altoona, Reading, Trenton, 2-3 hours away, not bad. But if you're leaving after, let's say, a night game at our ballpark and going to Akron, Ohio, Erie, Pennsylvania, Binghamton, New York, those can be some long trips, Hartford, Connecticut. So, you know, it is a little bit difficult. These guys learn to, you know, as they're coming up through the system, they learn to find ways to sleep on buses and things like that. You know, we try to do as many trips in our league where they will leave the morning of a game as opposed to after a game. But sometimes you do have to leave afterwards because you've got a 5, 6, 7 hour bus ride ahead of you, and pull into a hotel. You know, if we're playing a 7 o'clock game tonight, and we have to go to Akron, Ohio for a game tomorrow night, you're looking at about a 5.5, 6 hour bus ride. That's after the game ends. Figure 10 o'clock the game ends. The bus leaves at 11, 6 hour bus ride with a stop. You're pulling in at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, get some sleep, get up, go hit batting practice, and then play a game that night and try to be fresh for it. So it's it can be difficult. That's why as you move up the ranks, you move up the ranks, you get a little bit, easier travel. In AAA, they bus about half the time, they fly about half the time, and obviously in the major leagues, they fly all the time. I guess the perks come with the level. The higher you get, the easier, I guess, easier is not the best word, but the more luxurious the travel gets, I guess.
There is
a rule in my,
right.
Yeah, you're convenient. You get the, the luxury, jet planes and stuff. But there is a rule in minor league baseball, and this is because air travel is so unpredictable, where if you're, let's say you're hypothetically in AAA and you're flying to a destination the morning of a game, you have to take the first available flight out. So the first available flight out might be a 6:30 a.m. flight to go from Virginia to Indianapolis or something. So you've got a 4 o'clock, 4:30 a.m. van or bus to the airport. So you got to get up at 4:30 after playing a game that was at 7 o'clock last night. So, even though you fly, it might not be as, they might actually rather bus because you could actually sit there and sleep and you don't have to get up. And so it does get a little bit rough and, but they get to learn to deal with it a little bit. And like I said, the reward is getting to the big leagues and having chartered jets.
And I got a big leagues question for you. I don't know if you heard on the PAT segment this morning, I was talking about Anthony Rendon with the Nationals, third baseman with the Nationals, and the argument that maybe he should be the MVP of the National League. But because by numbers, he's just as good as some of the other cast of characters. But then when you look at just from a PR standpoint, I mean, he's not even the best – he's not even the most valuable on his team. How does that work in baseball where by the numbers, a guy, kind of has the same numbers as maybe the best guy, but because he's got superstars on his team like Bryce Harper, Max Scherzer, Daniel Murphy, Ryan Zimmerman, this guy's like an afterthought for MVP. How would he ever kind of get some shine? And by the way, before you answer, do you think that this is what turns youngsters off from the game, that they can't get shine if they put up big numbers? So there you go.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a team that does have a lot of talent, a lot of stars on it, and you don't hear him being talked about in the baseball circles so much for MVP and things like that because there are, I guess, bigger personalities on that team. You don't typically see on a daily basis Anthony Rendon is the guy that gets quoted in the newspaper or online. It's Harper, it's Scherzer, it's, a little bit of Strasburg, it's, some of those guys. It's Zimmerman, where maybe Worth. So he's not the guy that's on the forefront of everybody's mind for MVP. I'm sure the baseball writers and all the people that vote for this, obviously, know his credentials. But, take a look at last year. It's somewhat, I guess, a popularity contest, too. Look in the American League last year. We had Mike Trout win it, and his team was horrible. But he was the best guy on that team for the entire season. And I did hear some of what you were saying. You look at Stanton down in Miami. Not a good baseball team, but the guy's numbers are ridiculous.
Right.
In my personal opinion, I've always kind of had this saying, Miami is in third or fourth place in their division, X number of games out of first place. I guess they still have a chance at the wild card, but you know, for all intents and purposes, they're not going to go anywhere this year. Would they, if you take Stanton off of that team, they're still going nowhere. If you took Mike Trout off the team, off the Angels last year, they still are going nowhere. So I kind of have this saying, we can lose with you, we can lose without you. You know, so how valuable is a guy if you're 20 games under 500 and 15 games out of the playoffs? What's the difference between being 15 games out of the playoffs and being 40 games out of the playoffs? You're still out of the playoffs.
Sure.
Does it matter whether you were on the team or not? You know, so I you know, my personal thing is an MVP should be somebody from a contending team. Does it have to be the first place team? No. Does it have to be the wild card team? Not necessarily, but they should be a contending team. It'd be the same thing as, you know, remember years ago that Andre Dawson won the MVP for the Chicago Cubs when they finished dead last. Well, they would have finished dead last without him too. Was he really
right.
the MVP?
Right.
You know,
right.
It's just kind of one of the things I've always said is, you know, if we lose with you, we lose without you. So, how valuable really were you? But it's become more of a popularity contest, and you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's just the times in the media these days where, you know, it's going to be, you know, who generates the headlines and whose team's PR department does the best job. And, you know, we'll see what the Nats do with Rendon, if PR machine out there and get things working so he can get noticed.
Assistant General Manager Phil Rye, Bowie Bay Sox. Phil, I got to ask you a money question here, because in the other sport, the NFL today, guys are going to get cut. They're not going to have a job. Now, let's say I'm looking at your roster right now. You got a bunch of guys on here. And they make a pay. Obviously, it's not major league pay. But is it too late for guys? Like, are these guys still hopeful that, in other words, they're getting ready to go to the playoffs. So I would assume they're going to get playoff bonus money or no?
No. They just get paid another couple of weeks.
They get
based
paid.
On,
okay.
And that's one of the misnomers in minor league baseball. You know, I think we've talked about it before, but you know, an average double A ball player that was drafted by their original organization. So for example, we're the Orioles affiliate. So the Orioles draft a guy, he's drafted in the middle part of the draft, latter part of the draft. He didn't get a big signing bonus. He might have made, you know, 20 grand, 30 grand, 50 grand, whatever, which nowadays is nothing. And he's coming up through the ranks. He's making in his first year in double A about $2,200 a month for the time that they're playing the season. So 5.5 months. So his take home pay for the season is, you know, 12 grand, 13 grand. Where a guy in the minor leagues can make some money is becoming a minor league free agent and having a track record to be able to go to an organization. So we have guys on our team that may have been signed to AAA contracts that are playing AA, and those guys can make in anywhere from $5,000-$7,000 a month up to $25,000-$40,000 a month. AAA guys can make, you know, $100,000-$150,000 a year or more. They're not getting millions, but, you know, the guys that survive in the minor leagues are the ones that, yeah, I mean, you can make some decent money because guys in AAA nowadays, a lot of them have that proverbial cup of coffee in the big leagues. They can be an asset to an organization. You know, take a guy like a Johnny Giavatella, who was with the Orioles, or a Paul Janish, who just retired. You know, those guys are probably making some decent AAA money because they offer insurance to the big league club in case somebody gets hurt. So they want to incentivize them to come play at AAA, even though they're not getting big league money and big league service time. They want to incentivize them to stick around and be there in case need them. And earlier this year, they did need them.
Well, Phil, but I guess that's where I'm going with this is, you're about to take a team to the playoffs. I'm not getting any bonus money to win. I'm just kind of getting my same pay. But on the other hand, I'm looking at the Orioles now, 8 games back. They got about a month left. Wouldn't I, as a player, rather get called up and the heck with your Eastern League championship? Because I could make Or how does that work? Like, would he, let's say one of your guys gets called up right in the middle of this playoff series, or can they do that? And then all of a sudden, mm-hmm. you know, he's now in the major league. Wouldn't he rather kind of have that cup of coffee for a month? How does that all work?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's all based on the – yeah, I mean, you always want to go to the big league. You know, that you don't want to – you know, double-A championships are great, but you always want to be in the big leagues.
But for the manager, that's Coach Kendall. So how does that work where, you know, maybe your best guy gets plucked off and it's game seven of the playoffs? Like, what – is that just it?
It happens. Yeah, it happens. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, obviously a guy wants to play in the big leagues, but, you know, they're professionals too. They're gonna go out there and play as hard as they can, especially for their teammates. You know, when we won it in 2015, the Eastern League Championship, we had guys on our team that you know, kind of rallied the troops, so to speak, and were the voices in the locker room. Hey, we got a chance to win this. Let's go do this as a team. Let's go do this as an organization. You know, and when, let's say in an organization like us, you know, we might be the only team in the organization that makes the playoffs. Well, everybody's watching. Everybody from Baltimore's watching. The guys that are in the big leagues that the players that we have now are playing with, they're watching. Heck, they might be coming down to watch a game if they can, you know, if there's an opportunity. We've seen that before. Back in 2015, sure. You know, we had guys like, you know, Donnie Hart and Michael Givens and Dylan Bundy, who had spent part of the season with us, that came back down to watch playoff games when they could, because they wanted to see the guys that were their friends and their teammates do well. And when an organization's looking at you and they get some extra games to evaluate you, and, you know, what you have to remember too is these guys are playing not just for the eyes of the club that they're with. They're playing for 29 other teams' eyes too. So you get a few more opportunities. A lot of these guys will be minor league free agents at the end of the year. And, you know, sometimes playoff performance counts, and it might make them a couple extra $1,000 a month in minor league free agency. It might give them an opportunity to get a big league invitation to spring training somewhere. So, you know, the professional side of it says, I'm going to go out there and do everything I can to try to win, because you'd rather win than lose. You don't want to play extra baseball and lose. So, but of course, if a guy gets a chance to go to the big leagues, that's the ultimate goal. But you have to be on the 40-man roster to do that. And when our guys are sitting there looking at the Orioles 40-man roster and seeing that there's 40 guys on it, somebody has to lose their job for them to get one. And I'm sure deep down in their heart, they would say all the right things. Well, I don't want a guy to get hurt to lose his job for me to get my opportunity. But on the same side, I got my opportunity because a guy got hurt or got let go, and I'm going to take advantage of it. So, you know, it's, you always hear that in the media. Well, you know, for me to get my chance, I didn't want my teammate to get hurt, but you got your chance up there to have that. So you're not crying about it. You're going to say all the right things, but you're not going to cry about it either, because you got your chance in the big leagues or in the NFL or whatever it means. So, yeah, I mean, they obviously want to get called up, but a lot of these guys know that they're in a progression too. Unlike football today, where you just mentioned, a lot of these guys are going to get blindsided and not going to have a job this afternoon. Where in baseball, these guys are coming up through a system. They know where they rank in the system. They know what, you know, they've had conversations with the development people. Hey, here's what we're going to do with you. We're going to get you through the playoffs, and then we're going to shut you down and let you have a normal off season. Or, hey, we're going to send you to the fall league. Or, hey, we want you to go to instructional league and work on this. Or we're going to have you go play winter ball and do this. We want you to work on this in the off season. So there's a lot of those conversations all the time, where in football, it's just the proverbial axe coming down today and going, hey, on every squad today, unless you're put on IR, what is it, 37 guys aren't going to have jobs, you know, at 5 o'clock this afternoon or 4 o'clock or whatever, you know, and multiply that times, 31, 32. There's a lot of guys that are hitting the unemployment line today. So, and there's no place for them to go play afterwards.
That's right. There are going to be a ton of high school football coaches flooding the gates here pretty soon. Hey, Phil, we got about 90 seconds left. Tell us now about some of the promotions you got, because now it's kind of weird because you're in playoff time. So I got to believe it's kind of hard to figure out, okay, we're going to have, you know, WWE night or whatever, Friends reunion night or whatever it is. What do you got in mind for this this first series, playoff series?
You know, the playoffs for us, because they're so up in the air when we're going to play, you know, we know we're going to play next week. We know we're going to play at least a home game this coming week. And if we make the finals, at least one home game. So it's really hard to plan. So when we get to the playoffs, it's about the baseball. You know, you get in there, we have some fun between innings and stuff like that, but we don't do theme nights. We don't do, you know, that type of stuff. When we get in the playoffs, it's about baseball at that point. And, you know, that's when baseball fans really come out of the woodwork, and, you know, we kind of look at all the Orioles fans that are out there and want to see the next level of prospect that's going to impact their big league club. Guys like Austin Hayes and Cedric Mullins and DJ Stewart and Ryan Mountcastle and Garbez Rosa and guys like that have a track record going on, higher level prospects. The names have been out there for a year or two, guys that are tearing it up. It's time for them to shine. And we kind of take the promotions back a little bit, and we still have a good time at the ballpark. We put on some between inning fun, but, you know, we're really out there for come on out and watch this team in the playoffs and get a chance to win a championship. And that's what we really tune into at this time of year.
Phil, hey man, just like a reliever in the ninth inning, you always close, and I appreciate you delivering as you always do. I'm going to be following this, this playoff series that you got coming up. And I think you guys are will do well. And if need be, we want to have you back one more time after winning. So that's your incentive. Let the team know.
There we go.
You get back on the Extra Points Radio Show if they win this first series, and I'm sure they'll play a little hard. There you go.
Sounds good. I'll make them I'll let them know.
There we go. There we go, man. Hey, thanks a lot, Phil, and we'll see you down the road.
Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you later.
Phil Rye, Bowie Bay Sox, man, that guy always delivers, knows his baseball, and just an all-around good guy. And that's what I like, a good guy. So, hey, we're going to take a quick break and come back, and we're going to break down this Redskin We're going to break down this roster here, and let's see who remains on the team, because it's going to be some sad faces today. So we'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Guys, that's going to need some money at 4 o'clock today, because they're going to be out of a job, period, the end. So let's go to the Redskins roster. It's pretty easy, folks. It's pretty easy. You know, for me, the first place that you build a football team is the offensive line. And so when you look at it, Williams, LaValle, Long, Sheriff, and Moses, they're your starters. I'm a little concerned about Spencer Long. He's banged up. May not start that first game, but of course he makes the team. So you go with those first five guys, and then you've got Ty Nsekhe, who I think is a starter in this league. That guy is really, really good. Matter of fact, you know, I wonder, does he start ahead of Morgan Moses down the road? If Moses were to dip a little bit in his performance, Ty Nsekhe is really good. I think there's going to be a question mark at left guard. You got Irie Kwanjo from DeMatha High School right here in D.C., and Tyler Catalina. Tyler Catalina has had a great preseason. It's going to be hard to cut that guy. I'm okay with either one of them. I honestly think Tyler Catalina outplayed Irie in the preseason, you know, but, hey, Irie's a local guy, went to DeMatha. I'm pulling for him. You got Chase Royer at center. Stay with that. Isaiah Williams had a pretty good game the other night. But, again, at right guard, I think Kyle Calise had a really, really good preseason. I think Kyle Calise is better than Isaiah Williams. I think Isaiah Williams gets cut, even though he had a good game the other night in Tampa. I think Kyle Calise has outplayed him over time. And then at right tackle, Vincent Painter, I did not think he had a very good preseason, but there's not a whole lot behind him. So definitely, I think at the guard spot, you may have some a tough decision to make. But other than that, I think you got your 10 offensive linemen. Let's go to receiver. I'm keeping six receivers here. I'm keeping six. I'm keeping Terrell Pryor, although I don't think he's a number one receiver in the league. But keeping Terrell Pryor, keeping Jameson Crowder, keeping Josh Dotson. Now, the thing on Dotson is you drafted him, so you got to keep him. But you don't have to keep him after this year. I mean, you just don't. He has just not been on the field enough. That's three guys right there. They love Ryan Grant. You're keeping Ryan Grant. You're keeping Maurice Harris. Just because he has some NFL experience, he knows the system, he can return kicks. That's five. The tough part is who do you keep between Robert Davis, Brian Quick, Matt Hazel, Zach Pascal, James Quick, and Jamari Staples? I think it's Zach Pascal. And I'll tell you why. Again, he had a really good preseason, as well as he can return kicks like no tomorrow. So I like Zach Pascal out of that bunch. If they keep six, if they keep five, then Zach's gonna not make the team. Now, running back, I think here's where you could gain some traction. At running back, I think you got to go with Kelly. You got to go with Rob Kelly. Then Chris Thompson, obviously, that's your third down guy. Samaje is the guy you drafted. So those are a lot. The question is, they've already cut Kenny Hilliard. So the question is, do you keep Matt Jones or Mac Brown? To me, that's a no-brainer. Mac Brown has outplayed Matt Jones. Mac Brown did put the ball on the ground the other night against Tampa Bay. But Mac Brown also plays special teams. Mac Brown's better. He's just better than Matt Jones. That's it. So while they're similar in their running styles, I think you got to go with Mac Brown. That's going to be an interesting decision right there. I'm pulling for Mac Brown. Let's flip over to tight end. That's another tough one. So you know Jordan Reed's your guy, may be the best in the league. Vernon Davis is probably could start somewhere else. Niles Paul, special teams guy, leadership guy in the locker room. So I think you got to stay with him. Now, here's where it gets tough. E.J. Bibbs and Garner, they're going to get cut. But it's tough when you got Derek Carrier and then you got Jeremy Sprinkle. Now, Sprinkle, you drafted out of Arkansas High. Huge. This guy is big. But, you know, he missed some blocks during the season. I didn't see him catch a lot of passes. Derek Carrier is a pro's pro. He knows the offense really well. You know that Jordan Reed is not the most durable. So it'd be great to have another veteran guy come off the bench. Everyone knows I love veterans. I'm keeping Derek Carrier, and I'm going to chalk Jeremy Sprinkle up to a mistaken draft pick. That's what I'm going to do. All right, let's move over to quarterback. Pretty easy there. I think you got to go with Cousins. Colt McCoy and Nate Sudfeld. Now, there's, you know, some talk about maybe, you know, putting Sudfeld immediately to the practice squad. I think you keep him up. Keep him up, let him soak in as much experience as he can, because he's going to be playing, or at least a backup, maybe a starter next season. So I think you got to do that. So, yeah, I think there's going to be some tough choices on this cut down day. I think keeping six receivers probably won't happen. That'll probably cut down to five. Keeping four running backs, that'll probably work out. Four tight ends is a stretch, but I think they do that. And then, of course, three quarterbacks. Now, if you do that, you can only keep 53. So right there, that's 15 guys, 15 and 8, 23. That's 26 guys on the offense. Now, if you go to your specialist, you know you'll keep Hopkins, you'll keep Tressway, and you'll keep Sundberg. So nothing changes with the specialist. That brings you up to 29 guys. So now on defense, you don't have, you know, a ton to work with. You've got 24 guys on defense to work with. So if you look at it, let's start with the defensive line. I think that's going to be tough. That is going to be really, really tough, because in that 3-4 scheme, they I don't think they ever really found a nose guard. And you know, it was a big injury losing Phil Taylor Sr., who I coached against. I remember when Phil was at Gwynn Park High School and I was at Crossland. The guy was dominant. The guy was really dominant. So I think you got to keep Ziggy Hood, Stacey McGee, Jarrell McClain, Jonathan Allen, of course. I like Matt Ioannidis and Anthony Lanier. I think those guys are all locks. And that would give you 6 guys that you're keeping on the defensive line. So now that gets you down to, you still have 18 more guys to play with. So let's flip over to the linebacker, where I think you got to keep Preston Smith, Ryan Anderson, Will Compton, Martell Spate, Mason Foster, Zach Brown, Ryan Kerrigan, Junior Gallette. Like, I think that's who you got to keep. And then I don't know, but I think that's 8 guys. Now, I like Zach Vigil because he plays special teams. And I like Josh Harvey Clemens. And, of course, the nice story is Nico Marley. He's a good story. So, you know, maybe you keep him as well. But you're running out of spaces here. So if you stopped and don't take the last 3 guys I said, which are Zach Vigil, Josh Harvey Clemens, and Nico Marley, if they all get cut, then you're down to 10 DBs. So with the 10 DBs, I think you got to go Norman, Fuller, Josh Housley, Sua Cravens, DJ Swearinger, Everett. They already cut Will Blackman. And then I think you could get Fish Smithson. I think he makes the team. Monte Nicholson. If you keep those guys, that's only 8. That's only 8 DBs. And then you probably could go back up. Don't forget D'Angelo Hall will probably be on injured reserve. So you got him looming out there. You also got Fabian Moreau. I think you got to keep Fabian Moreau. So that's 9 DBs. You could go with 9 DBs and then pick up one of the 3 between Zach Vigil, Josh Harvey Clemens, and Nico Marley. I got to tell you, Josh Harvey Clemens probably is the best of the 3. Nico's a great story. Again, it's going to be tough to let him go. Zach Vigil's, you know, doing a good job as well. So they got some tough decisions between that linebacker DB spot. They got some tough ones there. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I think at the end of the day, it all comes down to money, you know. And on the defensive side, when you look at, they could get younger. You know who I forgot was Bashaud Breeland and Quentin Dunbar. Forgot them at corner. So, you know, when you got those guys, then a guy like Fish Smithson, trying to say that fast 3 times, make it real tough in the DB slot. So let me try it again. DBs, if we go with 10 of them, it'd be Breland, Dunbar, Fabian Moreau, Josh Norman, Kendall Fuller, Josh Housley. So that's four corners. And then at safety, you go with Sua Cravens, DeShazer Everett, DJ Swearinger, and Monte Nicholson, I think, because you drafted him over Fish Smithson. Now, Fish played better in the preseason. So if you just go off of preseason, Fish is your guy. If you go off of, hey, we drafted Monte Nicholson and we want to stay with that, that's your guy. Either way, I think it's going to come down to those two. But then that also kicks out the linebacker spot as far as Zach, Josh, and Nico. They would have no chance of making the team. Another guy, Chris Carter, I think he gets cut as well. So it's going to be tough. It's grueling on general managers. It's grueling on head coaches. It's grueling on equipment managers because they got to go and tell these guys, and that's tough. But it is what it is, and it's got to be done. So, hey, we're going to flip over to our two-minute warning segment. Our two-minute warning is always going to be about just being a good guy. And our guest today, Phil Rise, is a good guy. And so, there's some good guys out there. There's coaches out there that are working all day today. They worked last night to prepare their teams. But they're doing more than preparing their teams. They're developing young men. They're being dads. They really are. And they're doing it for nothing. None of us coach for money. We just coach because we love the game. So, hey, if you're one of those good guys out there, my hat's off to you today. Some of you be standing in the rain like I will for 3 hours. I'm only doing it to develop a young man and the love of the sport. So that's a two-minute warning for today. Predictions. Did pretty well last week. Colin Kaepernick still not signed. We did lose the Bishop Ireton over Trinity Episcopal. We did lose that one. The Nats did defeat the Mets, and the Skins did defeat the Cincinnati Bengals. So we did pretty good last week. This week we got West Virginia over Vatek. If you want to see college football, the atmosphere, the pageantry at its finest, head on out to FedEx Field this weekend. Actually, I think that game's tonight. West Virginia and Virginia Tech Hokies. Those two fan bases are rabid. That's going to be a pretty good contest and a great atmosphere. I got Texas over the University of Maryland. Maryland's just not there yet talent-wise. Texas is. They just needed somebody to steer the ship. They got somebody to steer the ship. Maryland loses and loses big. And then Florida. I got Florida over Michigan. You know, I think this will be the first time I can talk about old khaki pants. I think old khaki pants loses today. Florida's got a lot of talent. Florida made a real press last year towards the end of the season. Jim McElwain's a great coach. He's recruited very well. I think Florida's under the radar in the SEC, and I wouldn't be surprised if they see Alabama again down the road. I think they beat Michigan, Florida over Michigan. Hey, if you are wanting to find out more about the Extra Points Radio show, please contact us at coach@extrapointsllc.com. Visit the website, www.extrapointsllc.com, or you can find us on Twitter at @extrapointsllc. If you're looking for a speaker, and I'm going to be speaking today in the locker room at Bishop Ireton, as I got 9 more games left, and we go out again. National Christian Academy in the rain, but fortunately we play on turf, so no mud. So we're looking forward to that one. So if you're looking for a speaker to come out and speak to your team, your business, your church, your organization, book me. And speaking of booking me, hey, Extra Points, the life of my story. Read it, man. Read it. Order it. Get your copy. Go to extrapointsllc.com. Pick up a copy. And read it, and you will enjoy it. It's a great book. Well, people ask me all the time, what's the book about? The book's about me. That's what it's about. And my life story, and, you know, I've got a million stories, having coached for so long, just got a million stories. And then, of course, running businesses, doing really well and then losing businesses and not doing well. So it's a great story. So kind of a rags to riches deal. So looking forward to seeing your orders. I sign every book that's ordered, so I'll make sure I personally autograph your book, Extra Points, The Life of My Story. Hey, next week we'll have another great show. We're looking forward to talking a little more Redskins, see who made the team, as well as our preview on the Skins-Eagles matchup. You know, I have been predicting all along that the Red 13, I hope I'm wrong. I doubt it. I see if you can find me 4 wins on that schedule. Call in next week. As a matter of fact, I think that we'll do that at the front end of the show next week. I'll have listeners call in and tell me the 4 games that you think the Redskins will win next season or this season. And you know, maybe we'll have a little gentleman's wager on that. So, as always, don't forget the website, extrapointsllc.com. I want to thank everyone who's listening. Who listens every week. Appreciate you guys for always listening. We're always looking for sponsors, and we're always looking for ideas for the show. If you're interested in that, please shoot me over an email, coach@extrapointsllc.com. Coach, C-O-A-C-H, at extrapointsllc.com. All right, well, hey, it's college football season. It's here. It's upon us. We got great games, Cal, North Carolina. We got Troy and Boise State. We got Wyoming and Kansas State, South Alabama and Ole Miss. I mean, there's so much football. Vandy in Middle Tennessee. There's football everywhere, all over the country. Texas A&M, UCLA, that's huge. That's tomorrow at 7:30. That's a big one. There's football everywhere. Enjoy it. Labor Day weekend's great. Love you, U.S. Open, but it's nothing like college football. All right. We are going to have BMX take us out of here. And as always, the extra point is up, and it is good.